Hey, good morning, Faith Life Church. So glad that you've been here. Hey, it's Pentecost Sunday. All around the globe, churches are celebrating the day of Pentecost. On Thursday the 28th is the exact date. It's in the Jewish calendar where they represent it. It was a special day because in the system that they were in, everybody had to come to this. It was one of those three festivals. It was a festival where people celebrated because they wanted to bless, thank God for the prosperity in their lives. So they would bring the first fruit offering. And it was also a day that they celebrated that a supernatural event. It was when the word of God was given. So what the tradition has been is that the first five books of the Bible were given on the day of Pentecost. So it was a supernatural book. So what was amazing, this was the only time in history where a nation, a people, actually held the thoughts of God and the power of God. So it is absolutely amazing. So today we celebrate Pentecost. And yet, this is such a liberating time that God has given us, and yet it is so misunderstood by so many people. Sometimes we just quickly go over it. Oh, it's Pentecost Sunday. Let's move on. But Pentecost Sunday, it's where it all started. It is the birth of the church. It is the birth of the kingdom of God expanding in such a miraculous way. It is also the sign that you and I can walk in the supernatural. So when I think about the day of Pentecost, it is my foundation where I go, I believe in the miraculous because of that. So today I just want to first start a foundation, build a foundation for your life so that you can walk in the miraculous, you can talk in the miraculous, you can dream in the miraculous. Christianity is miraculous. So what we want to do today is just put a foundation down, and that series that we're going to start is moving from the natural to the supernatural, from the natural to the supernatural. I want to read something to you. It's out of Hebrews 11, and it comes out of the Weymouth New Testament translation. It says this: through faith, we understand that the worlds came into being and still exist at the command of God, so that what is seen does not owe its existence to that which is visible. What is seen doesn't owe its existence to what is visible. Now, the Bible says through faith. Now, every person on the globe today has been given a gift, and it's called the gift of choice. So every one of us are operating in a choice factor. That means that if there is a choice, that means there are two aspects of it. The Bible says here, through faith we understand. There's two types of faith. There's a natural faith. The natural faith is built upon what I touch, what I feel, the surroundings. It means that I get my concept of what I believe, I get my concept of what is limited, what is unlimited. I get my concept of what I can believe for or not. It's in the natural realm. But the Bible says there's also another faith, which is the God kind of faith. And the book of Romans tells us that everybody has been given a measure of faith. So what God says to us and what God says to you, today you can make a choice. And this is the choice is really simple, and the choice is really clear. Am I going to go from natural faith? That means that I get all of my information, I get all of my downloads for everything that is around me. If I can touch it, if I can test it, if enough people have voted on it, hey, I can do this. But the Bible says, it says, by through faith we understand. So here's a dynamic that needs to change, is this. If I want to understand the word of God, I cannot use my surroundings to tell me about things that are spiritual. The Bible says, through faith we understand. So here's the key. By biblical faith, that means by choosing, I am going to believe in, and I'm going to choose the faith of God that God's given inside of me, and I am going to understand. So understanding doesn't come from our environment. Understanding comes from the faith that God has given. So if you misinterpret something, you could have looked at it naturally, or supernaturally. The Bible says through faith we understand. Now, what do we understand? We understand that the things that are seen were made of the things that are unseen. So that means what we see existed in the spiritual realm before it came into the natural realm. See, you and I, we're born into the natural realm. So we come in here, all of our education, all of our books, everything around us is, well, this is who I am, this is who I am. So many people have this kind of concept of we are natural and we're trying to become spiritual. So it's almost like, well, I can choose. So all of my understanding as I came into this globe, as I came into this world, as I came into the country that I was born in, was understanding of the natural things. So we can look at the Word of God and interpret it through our natural means or supernatural. The Bible says the only way to understand what God is saying to you is by faith. So forgiveness is a supernatural event. Healing is supernatural. Peace is supernatural. The Word of God says through faith we understand that the worlds came into being and still exist. So everything we see is dependent upon what we don't see. So what we have here, let me just paint you a little bit of a picture. The unseen creates the seen, and then we interpret the seen through the unseen. So our foundation is this: I can interpret my surroundings through normal understanding, or I can interpret them through the unseen, which is the spiritual realm, which is about God. It's about His Holy Spirit. So everything we owe existence. Now, why is this so important? Is this: when Jesus came into the world, He came in not limited by His surroundings. His ability wasn't based upon His surroundings or the natural realm. What we see is the miraculous birth. So Jesus says, my birth, my entry point into the scene is not dependent upon this. So everything that Jesus did, everything that Jesus spoke was not dependent upon the environment, wasn't dependent upon people's opinions. It wasn't dependent upon what people thought. So Jesus comes in and He ministered totally autonomously from the surroundings. So the surrounding didn't determine. So when we get to feeding of the 5,000, God, people say, well, to feed the 5,000, where are we going to get the bread? Where are we going to do that? What the disciples were saying, to do this miracle, we are dependent upon a baker, we're dependent upon having enough finance, we are dependent upon getting enough wheat, the whole process. And God says this: I am not under the seen, I come from the unseen. And when I understand the unseen, then I can change the seen. So all of your problems, everything that we are facing today, the answer is not in the seen, the answer is in the unseen. So Jesus comes up and says, I want to feed 5,000 men. I want to feed their wives. I want to feed their children. Some estimate there could have been over 20,000 people that day. And God says, because I don't operate in the natural, I am not limited by what I touch. I am not limited by what I see. I am not limited by what people say you can and cannot do. What I see in heaven, I do on earth. Let me just read you a scripture in John 6:63 in the Passion Translation. It says this: the Holy Spirit is the one who gives life. That which is of the natural realm is of no help. The words I speak to you are spirit and life, but there is still some among you who don't believe. The Bible says this: the Holy Spirit gives life. So understand this: everything that we can see can be changed. So the things that are seen are dependent upon the things that are unseen. So what we have this is Jesus comes in and He starts to do everything that breaks the natural cycle of things. So what does He do when He makes water into wine? He breaks every natural law. He says, well, first you've got to plant the vineyard. You've got to tend the vineyard, you've got to pick it, you've got to do that. So God says this, there's a natural order of events in the natural, but there's also an order of events in the spiritual. And the super spiritual or the spiritual always overshadow and have power and dominion over the natural. So what we have here is we get born again, we get into this world and we go, well, this is how I view the word. See, we can view the word of God through natural means. That means I get an Oxford dictionary and I just look at the meaning of the Bible and I get what I want to get. But the word of God says it's the Spirit of God. So when we're going to be talking about a little bit about Pentecost today, but we cannot view it through the eyes of the natural. The Bible says is that you and I get a choice. I can go into the Word of God and exercise, release, unleash my supernatural faith that is God-given. Right now, as you are listening to me, you have a faith and you can decide now, I want this. I don't understand, but I believe. It doesn't make sense. See, the Word of God, like we met in Hebrews, Hebrews says, by faith we understand. So that when we come to the Scripture, if we do not activate our God-given faith, we don't get anything from Scripture. I am still so surprised. I hear this quite a lot. Hey, Ted, I read the Bible, it doesn't make any sense. I read the Bible, it's probably so boring. I read the Bible, I just don't get it. Let me encourage you today to take a stock take of your thoughts and go, okay, I have been living under and I have been interpreting the word through the natural system. I have been going, well, this is what it is, but now I'm going to activate. And this is the way you activate it. Holy Spirit, I activate my God-given faith. I want to know. I want to see. I want to see the fullness of your Holy Spirit. I want to see the fullness of your word. So we activate our faith. So it's from that natural that I choose to see the supernatural. And the supernatural then tells me about the natural. So here's the key. Every problem you have right now, there is a supernatural answer. So for every natural problem, there's a supernatural answer. For everything that is troubling you right now, for your peace, for your health, for your finance, there's a supernatural. See, that's why when we talk about giving financially, it's a supernatural thing. When we worship, it's not just words, but it's momentum in the Holy Spirit. That's why I am excited today. That's why I'm excited at Pentecost. That's why I'm excited because at Pentecost, the Word of God came. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came. And it cannot be interpreted through natural means. So here's the key when we come to Pentecost is this, is that Jesus lived outside of the parameters of the natural. That means that he lived not in accordance to, well, people say, well, hey, we have no food. God says, oh, but I have food. People say, I've been sick all my life. God says, well, I am your healing. See, forgiveness is a supernatural thing. When I say this, God, please forgive me, there's a supernatural thing that happens. And the supernatural forgiveness happened at the cross. See, the cross of Jesus was not a natural death. The cross of Jesus wasn't like any other death. See, throughout history, the Romans used the cross as a punishment. But there was no one that hung on the cross before Jesus or after Jesus that changed the course of the world, that changed the course of every life, that changed the course of every destiny. Because Jesus died a supernatural death. When he died, when he rose again, supernaturally life comes into the dead things. Supernaturally you are forgiven, whole. That means when Christ, let me just pause, I'm getting ahead of myself here. See, supernatural forgiveness is this. Natural forgiveness says, I forgive you, but I'm still hurting. I forgive you and I still remember what you did. But when we come and understand forgiveness from a supernatural point of view, it is this. God says, I forgive and I choose not to remember it, to bring it back to my remembrance. I will not bring it to my remembrance, nor will I ever bring it to your remembrance, nor will I ever tell anybody what you did. It's because what I have done is I supernaturally have forgiven you. I have supernaturally decided that I will no longer meditate on this and I will no longer remind you. So therefore, when you are forgiven by Christ, it's supernatural. You cannot use the natural to explain Christ. So we have Jesus here and he is coming and he is outside of the parameters of theology. He's outside of the parameters of what religion has told him. He's out of the parameters of what the political system says. He says, I am operating in another kingdom. I am not operating by the governance of the day. I am not operating because you've given me permission. I am operating in another level. I have gone from the natural into the supernatural. So his disciples, they're living in a natural realm, but they're walking with a supernatural Jesus. So they are used to, well, how do I go fishing? Well, I fish and all that. And Jesus says to Peter, hey, Peter, you're a fisherman. We need to pay some taxes. I want you to go and get money out of a fish. He goes, well, hold on. In my kingdom, if I catch a fish, I catch a fish. But in your kingdom, when I catch a fish, I can feed myself and also I can pay a bill. Now, that is unique. That is outside of the boundaries of the normal. So Jesus comes in and he says, I want you to be my disciple. Now, understanding this, when a rabbi picks a disciple, he's telling him this, I believe that you have the potential to do what I do. So when we are called disciples, it is not a name of the band, it is not a name of a book, it is a declaration over your life that you have the same ability, the same faith to do what Jesus is doing. So when he takes his disciples, the 12, the 70, the 120, and all of his entourage, he says to them, listen, I am not talking to normal people. I am not talking to people natural. I am talking to you because I have made a declaration that you have the ability to walk in the supernatural. You have the ability to worship in the supernatural. You have the ability to speak in the supernatural. You have the ability to change sickness into health. You have the ability to change depression into peace. So God picks his disciples and he makes a declaration over them and says, hey, I believe you can do this. I believe you can do this. I believe you can do this. Now, let's get into Pentecost. This is just the beginning. So once we understand that Jesus is walking, speaking, praying, and he is outside of the borders of the normal, outside of what people say you can and cannot do. He's not determined by lack. He's not governed by lack. He's not governed by praise. He's not governed by public opinion. He is working the supernatural. God is seeing heaven and bringing it on earth. So all of his disciples are walking with him and going, we are walking with a man that breaks every normal law. He walks on the water. He tells the wind to be quiet. He touches a leper and a leper is clean. He creates eyes where there were no eyes. He takes broken limbs and makes them whole. He restores people that are rejected. He forgives the unforgivable. He loves the undesirable. He embraces the ugly. Everything he does is out of the ordinary. And they're walking with him. And can you imagine you walking with Jesus? And you go, well, how in the world am I going to do that? Look, I'm a fisherman. I've got my family. I know what to do. You've taken me out of what I know into what I don't know. And then Jesus says to them, your assignment is you're walking it. See, every time you read, open up the Bible, you're reading your assignment. So many people, when they get a hold of the word, they go, I'm just reading the word. No, you're reading your assignment. Every time you see Jesus touching somebody, loving somebody, there's your assignment. When you see Jesus coming into a place where there's weeping, there's sorrow, he says, here's your assignment. And so everything we do is God saying, I want you to do this. But here's the thing, is when I live in the natural, it just doesn't seem real. They go, well, how am I supposed to do this? How am I supposed to go from one point to another? How am I supposed to go from the natural to the supernatural? See, it's an easy thing to say, but the Word of God tells us. So the disciples were really content is because they were the bystanders. They were the cheer squad. They were there. They're going, okay, we understand this. As long as Jesus is doing it. And Jesus even gave them a foretaste when he sent them out. He says, go, cast demons out, heal the sick, preach the kingdom of God. And I said, Jesus, it is amazing. Even the demons are subject to us because we're walking in the supernatural. So God has even instilled into the disciples is that the supernatural realm, the heavenly realm, the kingdom realm supersedes the natural realm. And the natural realm will always obey the spiritual realm, never the other way around. So they're used to this. And then we have, when we get to the death of Christ, can you imagine what they felt? So you're given an assignment by God. You're saying you can do this, and then he dies. But then we have this miraculous, that's why Pentecost is 50. It's 50 days prior to that. So what we have is this, is that Jesus dies, he's raised from the dead, he ministers to his disciples, and he makes this thing to them. I want you to go to Jerusalem on such and such a day, and I want you to wait there until you are endued with power so that you can be my witnesses. You get this in Acts 1:8, and I'm reading it out of the Amplified Bible. It says this, you shall receive the power, the ability, the efficiency, and the might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, even to the ends of the earth. I want you to understand something. When it's sometimes so missed in the scripture is this one part. And you shall be my witnesses. So the power is going to be the witness. I want you to understand something very clearly right now. It is the Spirit of God that bears witness to Jesus. He said to them, the power is going to come upon you. And so many times you just go, God, I want the power. But there's a purpose for the power. So when the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, there's going to be a witness. There's going to be a reaction in the natural world. Let that from here to here. Anytime the Holy Ghost comes upon a person, it changes the natural around them. It changes the atmosphere around them. So anytime the Holy Ghost comes in, the witness of that is in the natural realm. So it's the Holy Spirit changes the natural realm. So what we have is that the disciples come in and they go, we can't start our ministry. We can't start this thing that we're trying to organize called the church without the Holy Spirit. Now, here's something that's really amazing. He never told them how it was going to happen. He never said to them, now, this is what's going to happen. You're going to say this, all of this stuff. He says, what I want you to do, I want you to there and I want you to wait. I want you to become in one accord. In Acts chapter 2, the Bible says when they were in one accord. Now, here's my thinking a little bit. One accord with who? Is it one accord with each other? There was 120 of them that went in. Now, the Bible says they were in one accord. Now, what I personally believe, I don't personally believe they all said, well, let's all say the same thing. Let's all become one. They became one accord with what Jesus had told them. So it was like, I have a personal preference. You have a personal preference. Fine. I can live with your personal preference. But what I can't do, I cannot live with a personal preference about Jesus. What it is, he said, I come in one accord. And the Bible says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, That means fully come comes in a lot of ways. That means there were people from every nation that would call themselves Jews were in Jerusalem. They were celebrating. They were giving offerings. They were going, wow, we have the Torah. We've got the five books and all that. And when the Holy Ghost came upon them, they started to speak in other tongues. Now, there's a lot of controversy on this speaking in tongues, but I believe the controversy comes is because we're looking at a supernatural event and we are trying to analyze it in the natural world. Let me tell you a story. One of the first time I went to East Timor, the missionary we were staying with, he said, look, let's go to a remote village. And to get to this village, it was, I think, about a day and a half of four-wheel drive tracks. We spent most of the time getting bogged, trying to push the cars out. We got there, and so we were going to preach. So we came into the leader's hut. So it was a large hall, and they got all these people coming through, and everybody came through. And then it was I'm supposed to be speaking. So they said to me, Ted, you're going to have three translators because there's three dialects that are represented here. So I started preaching and go from one, two, three. And anyway, after about 15 to 20 minutes, I lost my way because what was happening is they had discussions between themselves. So I lost my way and I just really felt the Holy Spirit, just start to pray for them. So I said, I'm going to stop preaching. And I said, who wants to give their life to God? So we just gave a really simple love of God message and how he died for him. People started to get saved. And then all I did was I lifted up my hands and I said, Holy Spirit, I just release you. Holy Spirit, I said, release you. On my left were a bunch of teenagers. It was all the kids were put into one section. So you got all these kids that were from about five or six onward, even some younger, even to some teenagers. And as we were preaching, as we were celebrating that people were getting saved, these kids got filled with the Holy Spirit. And so they started being, but what was unusual? Now you understand this, we got three different dialects. None of them have to do with English. I had to stop preaching because it just took so long to translate it. But these kids started to get filled with the Holy Spirit. And guess, get a load of this. They started to praise God in an Aussie language. I mean, it was as if I went to our children's church. They were in an Aussie accent, hands lifted up, tears flowing out of their hearts, right? And they go, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, thank you for saving me. Jesus, thank you for healing me. And they were worshiping God in an Aussie accent. So here, there was three other Aussies there. We were there. We are kind of gobsmacked. We're going, oh, man. Because, you know, you're thinking, here they are, filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in English. Wow. See, it is the power of God. It was a witness. So what the Holy Ghost came and he filled them. It was a witness. It was a witness to me. It was a witness to my friend. And we were looking at it. They were worshiping God. And what was amazing, I want you to get this. The moment they got filled with the Holy Spirit, people started to get healed. There was a young woman that came in. She was brought on a stretcher. Her legs were totally deformed. And she straightened up and she walked out of the building. There were so many other miracles that were happening. But because of the power of the Holy Ghost, I'll just give you another story. We were, when Saul and I, we were youth pastors back then, what was called Waver Christian Fellowship. We had a time in our youth group where no one was getting saved. People weren't getting saved. So I went into prayer and I said, God, we need to get people saved. So we activated all of our youth. And so they all went up, and there was one of them that said to me, Ted, I'm bringing about five or six people from my high school. That was back Roeville High School back then. Is that they brought them in, and we went into the prayer meeting before the meeting. And so we had the hall, and we had a room on the side. So I got all of our leaders to go in there, and we're going to pray for the power of God to come into our meeting. And as we are praying, one of the guys leading the prayer meeting comes up, and he starts to speak in tongues. And so there, but I looked in the corner of my eye, was all of these unsaved teenagers came in and were looking at us. And they were looking, and you could see the bewilderment on their faces. They're going, hey, what is going on here? And part of me just said, oh no, we've just missed it. Now they're going to think we're weird. Now they're going to think this. Now they're going to think this. Now they're going to think this. But you know what was amazing? When God spoke to me about this, was this. Is that when I gave the altar call, the first kids to come up to receive Jesus were the ones that were affected by the Holy Spirit in our prayer meeting. So here's the key. We are living in the natural, but God has given us supernatural. The day of Pentecost is this, church, is that you and I have been given an invitation into the supernatural realm of the Holy Ghost. And the atmosphere of the Holy Ghost, the kingdom of God, changes the natural. So when we start talking about Pentecost, when we start talking about this amazing thing that happened where the church was birthed, was this. It is the Father giving us an invitation into His realm. We might call it the supernatural realm. We can call it the kingdom of God realm. We can call it the heaven realm. We can call it so many ways, but it is your invitation where the Father says, I am inviting you to be touched and filled with the Holy Spirit. And because whatever, when you are touched and filled with the Holy Spirit, you can change the natural. So wherever you are right now, the key to your natural situation is the power of the Holy Spirit. It is the power of God. It is the power of the living Word inside of you. So today, right now, as you listen to me, in your home, in wherever you're listening to me, God is saying, I'm inviting you. Here's your invitation. Why don't you let me fill you with the Holy Spirit? Why don't you let me cover you with the Holy Spirit? Every problem that exists is overwritten by the power of the Holy Spirit. You and I have been given an invitation. Do we want to live this life naturally or supernaturally? You see, Jesus came and He didn't come to frustrate us. He didn't come to say, look, this is the life that's possible, but you're not going to have it. So Jesus wasn't teasing us. Jesus wasn't trying to promote anything. He wasn't doing this. I'm exposing my life. This is how you can live. This is how you can give. This is how you can believe. But you're not going to have it. This is all good. It's all for show. No, no, no. This is not what the Christian message about. This is not the gospel of grace. The gospel of grace says this. What you saw Jesus speaking, what you heard Jesus speaking, what you saw Him doing is also now available to you through the power of the Holy Spirit. He says, like we read in John, we read in the book of Acts, the power of God will come upon you so that you can be my witnesses, so that you can live the life that I lived while I walked with you. You can walk it now. So right now, you and I have the ability and the mandate from our Father to live a supernatural way. So now we can choose. My natural way is this. I'm trying to figure it out. I'm trying to do this. I am. But when we start to move into the supernatural, He is. He's my peace. He's my provider. He's my healer. He's my deliverer. He's my friend. He's my substance. He's my peace. He's everything I have. Every breath that I take comes from Him. And so right now where you are, we're going to pray in a moment. You might not know that Jesus is your Savior. You might be looking, oh wow, this is the first time I've heard it. The Bible says this, if you will believe with the heart and speak with the mouth that Jesus Christ died and He rose and forgave all of your sin, if you will invite Him into your heart, you will be saved. Why don't you just pray, if you're this and you haven't done it, why don't you just pray this prayer after me? Father, I come to you. In the name of Jesus, I believe in my heart that you died for me, that you took all my diseases, you took all of my sin, you took all of my regrets, and you took them on the cross, and you forgave me, and you rose from the dead. So now I receive you as my Lord and Savior. If you've prayed that, hey, you're going to see our contact details at the end of the message. So please get in contact with us. But right now, we're just going to release the power of the Holy Spirit into your home, into your situation. So right now, I know that there are needs out there. I know that there are people struggling with disappointments. There's so many things that are bombarding us in this realm. But God says, now we're going to release the kingdom realm into you. Well, why don't you just, if you can do, just place your hand on your heart, because that's where it all comes from. We speak with the heart. So Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. And Father, we are living in this realm, and in this realm, Father, there's so many problems, there's so much disease, there's so much pain. And so, Father, right now, we choose to release heaven on earth. We choose to go from the natural way of fighting to supernatural way of winning. And so, Father, right now, by the power of the Holy Ghost, we just release the Holy Spirit into every life, into every situation, into every problem, into every fear, into every disappointment. Father, I pray for those that are mourning, that you would comfort them by the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray for those that need now encouragement, that you would encourage them by the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, I just thank you right now. I just release the power of the Holy Spirit to do major turnaround in our lives. So Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I decree and I declare that the Holy Spirit is in your room right now. I decree that he's in your heart. I decree that healing is now touching your body, that every cell in your body is responding to the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. I believe that right now that Jesus is taking away disappointments, that he's taken away hurts, that he's taken away bitterness, that he's taking away all of the things that are hindering you. Right now, the Holy Spirit is coming and he's overriding all the natural disappointments. He's overriding all the natural things, and he's saying, I'm going to take you into the spirit realm. I'm going to take you into my realm. I'm going to take you into the word realm. I'm taking you into the worship realm. So Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we just decree our open heaven over every single person. Father, bless them and keep them in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, thank you for listening. I pray that you were blessed. Believe in God. Let the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's celebrate Pentecost. Let's just celebrate that. If you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit, all you need to do is just go. We can be right now where you are. Just go, Holy Ghost, just fill me. Fill me with the Holy Spirit, and he's going to do it. You can receive the Holy Spirit right where you are. We've had people that have received it while driving a car, in live groups or whatever. All you need to do is, Holy Spirit, fill me, and he's going to fill you. You know, part of our church, we have a great friend of ours, his pastor Zoran Punovic, and he's a prophetic ministry, and just hang around, and because he has a prophetic word for us as a church and also for you as an individual. Listen to this.
Hello everyone, Zoran here. A big hello to Pastor Ted and Sylve, great friends, more than friends, family, and a huge hello to the Faith Life Church family. Thought I'd share a prophetic word of encouragement for you and draw your attention, particularly in the days that we live in right now, draw your attention to Psalm chapter 65, verse 11 from the NLT version. It says, "You crown the year with a bountiful harvest. Even the hard pathways flow with abundance." Even the hard pathways flow with abundance. I believe that in times like this, God is still God. He's still the God of supernatural provision and supply and resource. And notice the scripture says his blessing can be found in a hard pathway. It didn't say an easy pathway, a comfortable, relaxed, laid back pathway. He's crowned the year with a bountiful harvest, overflowing with abundance, in a difficult pathway, a challenging, demanding, tough, testing, the Bible says, hard pathway. Our God is a God of supply and favor and blessing in difficult times. And I want to encourage you with that. Notice the same thing in Psalm 114, verse 8. In the New King James Version, it says, "Who turns the rock into a pool of water, flint into fountains of water. God is not just the God who turns water into wine. Notice the scripture says he creates a pool of water out of a hard thing like a rock, and fountains of water out of flint. Our God is the God of great supply in a hard pathway. Elijah says to Elisha, "What would you like? Ask me anything." And he says, "I would like a double portion of your blessing. I don't want to just settle for what you've seen. I want to experience double that." And Elijah says to Elisha, "You've asked an easy thing." No. He says, "Elisha, you've asked a hard thing. You haven't asked for a comfortable thing. You haven't asked for a easy thing. You've asked for a hard thing." The double portion of God's blessing was found in a hard request. He asked for a hard thing. Our God crowns the year with a bountiful harvest in a hard place. He overflows with abundance. You know, one of life's most valuable and expensive gems is not formed in an easy place. The diamond is formed in a place of extreme hardness and pressure. Notice when they want to move great big earth-moving equipment and transport resources, valuable merchandise and products, when they want to transport all that via trucks and huge earth-moving equipments that build great buildings and move lots of land and earth, they don't send that transportation in a soft, sandy soil pathway. Those sort of resources are transported in a hard pathway, on a hard pathway. Those massive trucks are transported on a bitumen road, on a hard concrete road, on tar, not on sandy soil. I believe prophetically that God, who knows, let's believe, can I believe with you, that God is transporting his resources. He's transporting his answers. He's transporting supernatural supply and provision and favor coming to you, being transported and delivered to you on a hard pathway. May you be encouraged by this word. May you be blessed. Looking to God, our source of favor and supply right now, who knows what blessing, what answers, what source of supply our God, our Father is bringing your way. May you be blessed and encouraged. God bless you all.